Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Jesus is the greatest teacher to ever walk this earth. Even those who deny his deity often read the Bible as a source of reference and instruction, trying to copy his teaching methods, because he's the greatest. Because his activities establish such a clear pattern for us to follow, many preachers not only copy Jesus' methods, but preach the exact same sermons Jesus preached. However, there's one area where that's been proven to be impossible. There's no record in the Bible of any funeral sermon ever preached by Jesus. In fact, when the Bible records Jesus' attendance at a funeral or a grave site, it's usually to show his power to overcome by raising the dead to life again. While preachers are thus deprived of a funeral sermon, we're all given complete assurance that Jesus can and will raise us up at the last day. It is this power that enabled Jesus to refer to himself as the resurrection and the life. One of my favorite books in all of the Bible has to be the book of John. I think maybe the reason that this is true is because of the relationship that John the Apostle, often referred to as the one whom Jesus loved, and Jesus the Christ, it's because of the relationship they had with each other. John shows us Jesus in a very personal sense. He shows him to us in a very private sense, yet he does so publicly. And in the book of John, we have Jesus speaking for himself. At least 8 different times he identifies himself to us by saying, "I am," and then describing himself in some way. We began our study by noticing John 8 and verse 58, where Jesus simply said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He shows himself as being God, as being self-existent, not relying on man for his own existence. We then notice John chapter 10 and verse 36, where Jesus refers to himself as the Son of God. John 10 and verse 9, where Jesus called himself the door to the sheepfold, the door to safety. John chapter 8 and verse 12, where Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world, the one who came into a world of darkness and brought light. We then notice John 10 and verse 11, where Jesus called himself the good shepherd. And by looking back at Psalms 23, we were able to see the picture that the Bible draws for us of our heavenly shepherd and what he's like. And then last week we noticed from John 14 and verse 6 that Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this is a fascinating study to me. By being the way, he shows us that he is the direction, the path that we should travel. By being the truth, he shows us that he is the only one, that none other can be right, for he is truth, and he is the life, for he is the giver of life and the sustainer of our life, both physically and spiritually. We're taking our text from John chapter 11 and verse 25. Here Jesus says to her, and the her here is one of the sisters of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." The occasion of this was the death of Jesus' friend, Lazarus. Lazarus has died and has been dead now for 3 days and in the tomb. His sister comes to him and she was so sorrowful that she had lost her brother, and she wished that Jesus could have been there, that he might have healed Lazarus so that he would not have died. But for Jesus, the grave was not a barrier. He could pull Lazarus from the grave just as easily as he could heal him and keep him from going to the grave. And he does so on this occasion, calling him by name and telling him to come forth. At which point Lazarus obeyed, came back to life, and came from the tomb. We need to understand that we have eternal life through the resurrection. Lazarus came back to live, but he died again. So although his physical life was restored, he didn't have spiritual life restored by this particular action. We need to understand that through the resurrection of Christ, we can have spiritual life. Now, I want to return to John 6. We mentioned this at the end of our last lesson, but I'd like to read verses 51 through 54. Here Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, many who claim to be Christians misunderstand this verse. They think that the reference here to the body and blood of Christ is a reference to the communion service, but that's not the case. Rather, Jesus is saying in a figurative way, you must be a partaker of me. You must take upon you my will, live according to my law, depend on my power and my ability, and come to me for my reward. If you are a partaker of me, then you shall live, and I will raise you up at the last day. That last day, that day of judgment, can be a very frightening day unless we have Jesus to depend on. Now, we need to understand that Jesus is not offering freedom from physical death. Joshua said in Joshua 23 and verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. It's appointed to us to die. It's part of this life that we die physically. Our body is of the earth and will return to the earth. Genesis 2 and verse 7 says that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We then understand from Genesis 3 and 19 that in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. There's a time when our physical body will decay and return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Our physical death is appointed to us. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. All who live will die. Notice the words of the psalmist in Psalms 89, beginning in verse 47. Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? These questions are rhetorical. They're asked in order to make a point. The psalmist is telling us that if man lives, he will die, that none of us has the power to keep ourselves from the grave. Now, we must make note of the fact that there is an exception. There are those who will be living on this earth at the time that Jesus returns. They, of course, will not suffer physical death. And whether or not they suffer spiritual death will depend on how they have lived on this earth. But for all others, it is the natural course of man to live and to die. But it's important that we realize that physical life is not the end of man. I'd like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. Here Solomon is writing, and he writes something that is wrong. Many times in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon identifies himself as writing something that came from his own heart, or something that was under the sun. By this, he's saying it's something that he chose to write because he reasoned it out. Now, the Holy Spirit led for it to be recorded for us, and the Holy Spirit has put it there for us, but that doesn't mean that the conclusion drawn was correct. You'll see what I mean as we read this particular passage. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning of verse 18. Solomon writes, I said in my heart, concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests them, that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all return to dust. Now, at this time in Solomon's life, he had come to a false conclusion regarding the end of man. He saw that man's death is the same as being an animal's, that man and animal both die, their bodies return to the dust, and that's the end of it. But Solomon learned better. Turn your Bible over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is later in Solomon's life, and we read beginning in verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. These are all representative of death. Because when that happens, he says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. But notice what Solomon had learned by this point. And the Spirit will return to God who gave it. See, Jesus and his resurrection do not offer for us freedom from physical death, but they don't need to because physical death is not the end of man. Rather, he is offering us freedom from spiritual death. John 11, verse 25, our text. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? We should believe it. He asked her that question, and he asks us that question today. We should and must believe. Jesus can make this promise of spiritual life because he has the power to give it. He told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 14 that whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He can make us live because he has the power to do so. He is the one who gave us physical life by creating us, and he will give us spiritual life through his resurrection and raise us up at the last day so that we also can be with him to live forever in heaven. Do you believe this? That's the question that he asked then, and it's a question that we must answer today about the power he has to raise you up at the last day. It's interesting to me that Paul writes about the resurrection of our bodies in 1 Corinthians 15. He says in verse 4 that Jesus was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. God has already done once what he said he would do in raising Christ, and he will raise us up as he has claimed he will.